AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic ABC Media
News.
App.
I'm Justin Finch. Arriving back at LAX from Israel, this traveler says,
kept telling everyone, like, once it's been like an hour on this flight and I'm out of Israeli airspace, I will be able to breathe again, but like not until then. And I actually, like, we landed and I started crying walking through customs. Like, I've never been so happy to be in America.
In Israel, chaos and violence. The death toll from the weekend Hamas incursion, more than 1,600 Israelis and Palestinians. The Israeli military amassing soldiers along the border with Gaza, says ABC's Matt Gutman, who's there.
300,000 Israeli reservists flooding the fields around Gaza. It's the largest and quickest call-up in Israel's history. Armored personnel carriers cutting through the dust to the border with Gaza, roads clogged with tank carriers, reservists huddled at gas stations. The Israeli military telling me the immediate goal to strip Hamas of military capabilities.
The White House confirming that President Biden will address the nation about the situation later today. This is ABC News. The presidential race, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. dropping out of the Democratic side and mounting an independent bid. A new religious charter school funded by taxpayer money is getting the go-ahead in Oklahoma.
The Catholic Archdiocese of Oklahoma City applied to open St. Isidore of Seville Virtual Charter School, promising to follow church doctrine first, federal law second. The state superintendent of public instruction says that denying the church's application would be religious discrimination. But Alex Luchenester of Americans United for Separation of Church and State says
it would take away funds from public schools that are non-religious and that are open to all students.
His group and others plan to sue to keep tax funds from being used to fund the church-based school. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Monster of a pumpkin. Travis Geiger growing a 2,749-pound pumpkin in Minnesota, big enough to take the title at the World Championship Pumpkin Weigh-Off. Justin Finch, ABC News.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. First Lady Jill Biden is still in Wisconsin today to promote the Biden administration's commitment to supporting Native communities and collaborating with tribal nations. The First Lady attended a Biden Cancer Moonshot event in Green Bay yesterday, and today she will tour the Menominee Tribal Enterprises sawmill to learn about sustainable forest management. She will also visit the College of Menominee Nation and participate in the Women's Empowerment Summit. Wisconsin lawmakers have introduced a bill that would prevent restaurants from mislabeling artificial syrup as real maple syrup. According to a Wisconsin Examiner report, Representative Dan Cossadine of Baraboo says the goal is to set the standard for supporting Wisconsin's $14 million syrup industry. The state also has similar protections in place, such as preventing restaurants from serving customers margarine instead of butter or honey with added sweeteners. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
It's the Wild West of how students are using generative AI.
As educators, there's sort of six responses that we can have to these new tools. We could ignore it. Mm-hmm. We could ban it. We can try and outfox it. We can teach about it. We can actually teach it, or we can teach with it. I think the most exciting one, of course, is to teach with it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
David Drake is a professor and the Extension Wildlife Specialist at UW-Madison. Greg, tell him what you call him.
I now refer to you as Jane's birder boyfriend.
It wouldn't be the first time.
Whoa!
Now I have competition.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, God, I am wounded.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
That's the way that the world goes round.
I know a guy that's got a lot to lose. He's a pretty nice fella, kinda confused. Got muscles in his head, ain't never been used. Thinks he owns half of this town. Starts drinking heavy, gets a big red nose. Beats his old lady with a rubber hose. Then he takes her out to dinner, buys her new clothes. That's the way that the world goes round. That's the way that the world goes round. You're up one day, the next you're down. It's a happening to water. I was sitting in the bathtub, counting my toes when the radiator broke. Water all froze, I got stuck in the ice without my clothes, naked as the eyes of a clown. I was crying ice cubes, hoping I'd croak when the sun come through the window. The ice all broke, I stood up and laughed, thought it was a joke. That's the way that the world goes round. That's the way that the world goes round.
Yep, that's it. That's it. That's the way the world goes round. And John Prine, the late great John Prine, born on this date in 1946. Man, what a great songwriter. Hey, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. And we've got 41 degrees in Eau Claire right now. Richland Center has 44 degrees. And if I were to ask you, where are the best schools in the United States? Who has the best school system in the United States? What would you think? What would you say? Who has the best school system in the U.S.? Well, I found a piece here from, let's see, I believe this is the New York Times. Let me just double check that to make sure. But you'd be surprised, or maybe you wouldn't be surprised, to find out that many, or at least some, believe that the best school system in the United States is run by the Defense Department, the Department of Defense, the U.S. Department of Defense. This piece is from the New York Times. says here that schools for children of military members achieve results rarely seen in public education. This piece is by Sarah Mervosh, and it says here the military obtains outsized results by running a school system that is in many ways the opposite of American public education. And this piece was just posted this morning at the New York Times. It says here that Amy Dilmar, a middle school principal in Georgia, is well aware of the many crises threatening American education. The lost learning that piled up during the coronavirus pandemic, the gaping inequalities by race and family income that have only gotten worse, a widening achievement gap between the highest and lowest performing students. But she sees little of that at her school in Fort Moore, Georgia. The students who solve algebra equations and hone essays at Faith Middle School attend one of the highest performing school systems in the country. It's not run by a local school board or charter network, but by the Defense Department. With about 66,000 students, more than the public school enrollment in Boston or Seattle, the Pentagon's schools for children of military members and civilian employees quietly achieve results most educators can only dream of. On the National Assessment of Educational Progress, a federal exam that is considered the gold standard for comparing states and large school districts, the Defense Department schools outscored every jurisdiction in math and reading last year and managed to avoid widespread pandemic losses. Their schools had the highest outcomes in the country for Black and Hispanic students whose eighth grade reading scores outpaced national averages for white students. Eighth graders whose parents only graduated from high school, suggesting lower family incomes on average, performed as well in reading as students nationally whose parents were college graduates. The schools reopened relatively quickly during the pandemic, but last year's results were no fluke. While the achievement of U.S. students overall has stagnated over the last decade, the military schools have made gains on the national test since 2013. And even as the country's lowest performing students in the bottom 25th percentile have slipped further behind, the Defense Department's lowest performing students have improved in fourth grade math and eighth grade reading. Quote, if the Department of Defense schools were a state, we would all be traveling there to figure out what's going on, said Martin West, an education professor at Harvard who serves on the National Exams Governing Board. The schools are not free of problems. Despite their high performance, Black and Hispanic students on average still trail their white peers at Defense Department schools, though the gap is smaller than in many states. The Pentagon has also faced scrutiny for its handling of student misconduct at its schools, including reports of sexual assault. But as educators around the country are desperately trying to turn around pandemic losses, the Defense Department's academic results show what is possible, even for students dealing with personal challenges. Military families move frequently and at times face economic instability. So, how does the military do it? In large part by operating a school system that is insulated from many of the problems plaguing American education. Defense Department schools are well-funded, socioeconomically and racially integrated, and have a centralized structure that is not subject to the whims of school boards or mayors. There are about 50 U.S. schools for children who live on military bases and more than 100 schools internationally for students whose parents are stationed abroad, from Belgium to Bahrain. Fort Moore, Georgia, a major army base formerly known as Fort Benning, sprawls across 182,000 acres on the Georgia-Alabama border. Roughly 1,900 students attend school on the base each day, while their parents practice shooting, parachuting, and other training drills. The schools, four elementary schools and one middle school, look a lot like regular public schools. Students arrive on yellow buses. Classrooms are brightly decorated with crayon drawings and maps of the United States. The sidewalk in front of Faith Middle School is painted with bear claws, a nod to the school's mascot, but there are key differences. For starters, families have access to housing and health care through the military, and at least one parent has a job. Quote, having as many of those basic needs met does help set the scene for learning to occur, said Jessica Thorne, the principal at E.A. White Elementary, a school of about 350 students. Her teachers are also well paid, supported by a Pentagon budget that allocates $3 billion to its schools each year, far more than comparably sized school districts. While much of the money goes toward the complicated logistics of operating schools internationally, the Defense Department estimates that it spends about $25,000 per student, on par with the highest spending states like New York, and far more than states like Arizona, where spending per student is about $10,000 per year. Quote, I doubled my income, said Heather Ryan, a White Elementary, and White is the name of the school, I should mention, White Elementary School teacher. Starting her career in Florida, she said she made $31,900. After transferring to the military, she earned $65,000. Okay, in Florida, she was making $31,900. Now she's making $65,000. With more years of experience, look at this. She now is pulling in $88,000. Okay, so she went up to 65 when she first joined the military school, but now as a teacher, she's making $88,000 a year. Competitive salaries scaled to education and experience levels help retain teachers at a time when many are leaving the profession. At White Elementary, teachers typically have 10 to 15 years of experience, Ms. Thorne said. So obviously, paying teachers a livable wage makes a big difference. Fact, some would say that teachers deserve to be paid a lot more than they're being paid now. What's more important than teaching our kids? Don't we want the best people in those positions? It's 18 minutes after 9 o'clock. Got to take a break. It'll be a short one, so stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Up in the morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule. American history and practical math. You study them hard and hoping to pass. Working your fingers right down to the bone. And the guy behind you won't leave you alone. Ring, ring goes the bell. The cook in the lunchroom's ready to sell. You're lucky if you can find a seat. You're fortunate if you have time to eat. Back in the classroom, open your books. Keep it, the teacher don't know how mean she looks. Soon as 3 o'clock rolls around, you finally lay your burden down. Close up your books, get out of your seat.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. events. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Do you support the legalization, regulation, and taxation of legal cannabis in the state of Wisconsin? You said yes! Melissa, that was like 12 years ago! What do you think the hang-up is?
It's the Republicans. They're suffering from reefer madness. They're out-of-touch legislators in the Capitol building who don't want to give a win to Governor Evers and Democrats.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 54. Winds out of the northwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight, lows around 34. High at 55 tomorrow, mainly cloudy skies. Chance for scattered showers Thursday and Friday. Mid-50s Thursday, upper 40s by Friday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 41.
Like smelt fries and music on the river, we're uniquely Amory. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
You know the day destroys the night, night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide, break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side, yeah. We chased our pleasures here, dug our treasures there. But can you still recall the time we cried? Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side.
Yes, 22 minutes after 9 o'clock, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. And the music of the Doors never gets old. Hey, right now, 44 degrees in Hayward, 41 degrees in Amory. And welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. Just before the break, we were discussing education. The fact that some of the best schools, some of the most productive schools, are found on military bases, run by the Department of Defense. And I'll get back to this story from the New York Times. By the way, if you have an opinion on anything we're discussing today, feel free to give me a call. I would like to know what you have to say. The phone number is 715-388-7155. Again, that's 715-388-7155. And if you want to, you could also send me an email message. My email address is stumanradio@gmail.com. Stu is spelled S-T-U. And just before the break, we were going over this story about the fact that some of the most well-performing schools in our nation are military schools. And what I mean by military schools is schools for kids of military personnel on military bases. And I was to the point here where they were discussing some of the differences in those schools on the military bases and regular public schools. One of the biggest differences are the competitive salaries. We mentioned a teacher who was
started her career in Florida, making $31,900. She joined a military school, immediately went up to $65,000. Now, just a few years later, she's making $88,000 as a teacher. Getting back to the story, it says, even small details matter. A well-stocked supply closet means teachers don't have to pay for paper, pencils, and other necessities themselves. You probably heard the story many times over the years, how teachers often have to buy supplies for the classroom because the school doesn't have the money. So in some public school jobs, as Jan Ramirez, a first grade teacher, put it, we were the supply closet. Prudence Carter, a Brown University sociologist who studies educational inequality, said the Defense Department's results showed what could happen when all students were given the resources of a typical middle-class child: housing, health care, food, quality teachers. Quote, we aren't even talking about wealth, whether they get to go to fancy summer camps, Dr. Carter added. We are talking about the basic, everyday things. Military life comes with its own hierarchies, with base pay ranging from $25,000 for an entry-level private to six-figure salaries for experienced officers. At Fort Moore, higher-ranking officers live in white stucco houses, while enlisted soldiers are in modest duplexes. About a third of students on the base qualify for free or reduced lunch. But the schools are more socioeconomically and racially integrated than many in America. Children of junior soldiers attend classes alongside the children of lieutenant colonels. They play in the same sports leagues after school. That reflects a history dating back to 1948, when President Harry S. Truman ordered the military to desegregate its forces. In the years that followed, the military established integrated schools, primarily in the South, at a time when local public schools remained segregated. Today, Defense Department schools are 42% white, 24% Hispanic, 10% Black, 6% Asian, and 15% multiracial. Quote, the military isn't perfect. There is still racism in the military, said Leslie Hinkson, a former Georgetown University sociologist who studied integration in Defense Department schools. But what is distinctive, she said, is this access to resources in a way that isn't racialized. So that makes a big difference. If a kid, a student, has a decent home to go home to, and his family is making money to put food on the table, then it makes a big difference. Many of our students in our public schools don't have those luxuries, I guess you could call them. They come from dysfunctional backgrounds, you could say. And just having the basics can make a big difference. 28 minutes after 9 o'clock right now. Got to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned into your local Civic Media radio station.
I love the colorful clothes she wears and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle word on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations.
In touch with the City of Lakes. In touch with you. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. Arriving back at LAX from Israel, this traveler says,
kept telling everyone, like, once it's been like an hour on this flight and I'm out of Israeli airspace, I will be able to breathe again, but like not until then. And I actually, like, we landed and I started crying walking through customs. Like, I've never been so happy to be in America.
In Israel, chaos and violence. The death toll from the weekend Hamas incursion, more than 1,600 Israelis and Palestinians. The Israeli military amassing soldiers along the border with Gaza, says ABC's Matt Gutman, who's there.
300,000 Israeli reservists flooding the fields around Gaza. It's the largest and quickest call-up in Israel's history. Armored personnel carriers cutting through the dust to the border with Gaza. Roads clogged with tank carriers. Reservists huddled at gas stations. The Israeli military telling me the immediate goal to strip Hamas of military capabilities.
The White House confirming that President Biden will address the nation about the situation later today. This is ABC News.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. The Chippewa County Board will meet today to discuss the possible removal of Sheriff Travis Hakes from his role. The board is investigating a number of accusations against Sheriff Hakes, including reports of sexual harassment, a lack of training, and frequent absences from the job. Sheriff Hakes has vowed to fight what he calls a politically motivated inquiry. Chippewa County Board member Rob Tudeberg recently called on Sheriff Hakes to resign. After newly elected Wisconsin State Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz declined to recuse herself from a redistricting case riddled with accusations of gerrymandering, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss appeared to indicate he wants to take the matter to the United States Supreme Court. According to Molly Beck of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Speaker Voss said, quote, "We think the United States Supreme Court precedent compels a recusal, and the United States Supreme Court will have the last word here." Voss is also considering impeachment proceedings against the newly elected justice. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Folding a fitted sheet? Programming the thermostat? Matching your socks? Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with an auto owner's insurance independent agent, getting the right coverage for your home doesn't have to be one of them. So you can get back to more important things like finding that missing sock. That simple human sense. Ask No Insurance Group if auto owners make sense for you.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Do you
Has she forgotten all about me?
It's music from the Neville Brothers. Cyril Neville of the Neville Brothers is celebrating a birthday today. Cyril Neville, born on this date in 1948. Cyril Neville, the percussionist and vocalist with the band. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, 937 right now. We've got 44 degrees in La Crosse. In Richland Center, it is 46 degrees right now. And the next thing I want to get to here is what's going on in the House of Representatives. What are they going to do? Are they going to choose one of the two representatives who has said that they want to be the next Speaker of the House, Jim Jordan, Steve Scalise? Or are they going to bring back in Kevin McCarthy? Well, Joel McNally from the Shepherd Express has an opinion. He says why Jim Jordan should never become House Speaker. Are you familiar with Jim Jordan? Have you seen this guy in action? He is outraged by everything. Jim Jordan, no one knows yet who will emerge from the dysfunctional Republican House to become the next speaker, but one thing is certain. If it's Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan, Donald Trump's hand-picked candidate, the crisis for democracy is just beginning. Like Trump, Jordan thrives on creating chaos, not reducing it. That's why Jordan and Trump were in close contact throughout the January 6th attack on the United States Capitol. He's defended Trump ever since, saying the former president did nothing wrong. Quote, Jim Jordan knew more about what Donald Trump had planned for January 6th than any other member of the House of Representatives, former Wyoming Representative Lynn Cheney said last week in a speech at the University of Minnesota. Jim Jordan was involved, was part of the conspiracy in which Donald Trump was engaged as he attempted to overturn the election, end quote. Now, here is a disturbing fact. 5 days after January 6th, Trump awarded Jordan the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the nation's highest civilian honor and one usually reserved for Americans who have made historically significant social or cultural contributions. Does supporting a violent insurrection really qualify? Here's another disturbing fact. If Jordan wins the speaker's job, he will be third in line to immediately become president of the United States if anything were to suddenly happen to Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris, whose lives are constantly being openly threatened at a time when violent political rhetoric is commonplace. Jim Jordan has never discussed his own role on January 6th, even though he was part of Trump's House defense team during the impeachment trial in which Senate Republicans acquitted Trump. Republican leader Mitch McConnell said Trump should be prosecuted in the courts instead. Jim Jordan refused to comply with a congressional subpoena to testify about his 10-minute phone call with the president before the January 6th attack on the Capitol began and or other conversations when he said they talked a number of times during that day. The subpoena Jordan defied was issued by the House committee investigating January 6th, co-chaired by Liz Cheney. She was removed from Republican House leadership by Kevin McCarthy for opposing Trump's violent attempt to remain in the presidency after his defeat. Jim Jordan also sent a text to Trump's chief of staff, Mark Meadows, on January 5th, outlining ways Vice President Mike Pence could throw out President Biden's electoral votes to elect Trump. He followed up Pence's refusal with a call to Meadows during the attack. Cassidy Hutchinson, Meadows' chief of staff, overheard part of that conversation. Quote, "In crossfire, I heard briefly what they were talking about," Hutchinson testified. "I heard conversations in the Oval dining room at that point talking about the hang Mike Pence chants," end quote. Jim Jordan refused right-wing efforts to draft him for the speaker job during the 15 ballots it took to elect McCarthy as the most powerless speaker in history. Without all the bother of passing legislation, Jordan thought he could become a much bigger hero to MAGA Republicans as chair of the House Judiciary Committee. Jordan saw it as the perfect position to launch attacks on Biden and Attorney General Merrick Garland to try to shut down the Justice Department's prosecution of Trump for his presidential crimes to overthrow democracy on January 6th and his theft of top secret government documents the FBI recovered from Mar-a-Lago after Trump tried to claim they were his. Jim Jordan's continuing attacks on the four evidence-filled criminal indictments of Trump for multiple presidential crimes, including the violent attempt to overthrow President Biden's election, once again echo Trump's own rhetoric. So far, Trump's lawyers have raised very few legal arguments in his defense. Their legal filings are filled with political arguments designed to appeal to hardcore right-wing voters. Trump's long-shot strategy to stay out of prison for his crimes is simply to win the presidency and hire a new attorney general. Jordan would be a great choice to shut down Trump's prosecution. The irony is Jordan is the one who invented a phrase to attack Biden, the weaponization of government, that perfectly describes the politically corrupt Justice Department Trump has promised to institute with a vengeance if he's elected president again. Trump vows to fire all the prosecutors who prosecute crimes supported by evidence to shut down his own indictments. Then he'll start locking up Biden and his entire family and anyone else he wants. If that sounds nuts, it's because it is. Republicans have been telling their own voters for decades to get tough on criminals and support police and prosecutors. They forgot to tell Americans not to believe a Republican president should be indicted just because they watched his crime on television. Most Americans really do support democracy. They're also appalled House Republicans are out of control at a time when the nation is now involved in two deadly wars. Jim Jordan, as House Speaker, would only multiply the chaos. That's the way Joel McNally sees it from the Shepherd Express, that piece posted yesterday afternoon, with a headline that says, "Why Jim Jordan Should Never Become House Speaker." 9:45 right now, almost 9:46. Going to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
The most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Love your hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show on the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
Jade Monkey, Diamond Crute, we're going to be there. Live broadcast, party all night.
That's right. The tour stops in Madison at the Jade Monkey on Cottage Grove Road Tuesday, October 17th. It all starts with a live broadcast at 4.
Road trip with the Devil's Advocate's Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 54. Winds out of the northwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight, lows around 34. High at 55 tomorrow, mainly cloudy skies. Chance for scattered showers Thursday and Friday. Mid-50s Thursday, upper 40s by Friday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK, 1260 AM, right now 43.
Broadcasting from atop the water tower.
Well, not really, but it sounds fun.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Without a warning, you broke my heart. You took it, darling, and you tore it apart. You left me sitting in a dark crying. You said your love for me was dying. I'm begging you, baby, baby, please. I'm begging you, baby, baby, please. Turn on the light, let it shine on me. Turn on your love light, let it shine on me. Let it shine, 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 let it shine. Get a little lonely in the middle of the night. I need you, darling, to make things all right. Come on, baby, come on, please. Come on, baby, baby, please. Shine on the light, let it shine on me. Shine on your love light, let it shine on me. A little bit higher, a little bit higher.
Yes, let it shine on me. Let your love light shine. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. Bobby Blue Bland, 952 right now. We've got 43 degrees in Eau Claire and 42 degrees in Amory. And did you know that today is World Mental Health Day? It is. And I have a story here from Forbes asking the question, what is World Mental Health Day, and how can you celebrate? So it says here that large numbers of people are struggling with their mental health and wellness, including physical, cognitive, and emotional well-being. Fortunately, World Mental Health Day on October 10th, today, is intended to create awareness about mental health and remove the stigma that can accompany mental health challenges. Whether or not you personally face mental health challenges, you can honor and celebrate the day through your activities, your advocacy, and your approaches. And it says here that World Mental Health Day began in 1992 and is based on efforts by the World Federation for Mental Health. Their membership, which spans 150 countries, seeks to bring attention to mental health and its effects across the globe. Unfortunately, the need for mental health awareness and advocacy is significant. In fact, 63% of people said their mental health was poor, which was 35%, or fair, 28%. According to a poll by Monster, okay, you got that, 63% said their mental health was either poor or fair. In addition, 44% to 38%
of people said they were overworked or burned out based on a survey of 5,000 people by Muse. People reported they lacked joy and felt underappreciated, and 47% said stress was the biggest contributor to their negative experiences. The stress is real and significant for many groups, as 62% of women and 51% of men ages 18 to 34 were completely overwhelmed by stress, according to a poll by Stress in America. And in a poll by Cigna, 91% of Gen Zs reported they felt stress, and 98% felt burned out. So how can you celebrate World Mental Health Day or honor it? One of the first ways is to emphasize visibility. Tell your own story of mental health, as well as posting, liking, and sharing, to emphasize and reinforce the importance of mental health. You can also celebrate by connecting. Also honor the day by checking in with people you care about. Connection is one of the primary factors in all kinds of well-being. Feeling part of a community and sensing links with others contributes to physical, cognitive, and emotional health. So send a text or an email to a friend. Call a loved one. Stop by and see a neighbor. If someone you know is struggling with mental health, help them feel seen. And if they're not, express friendship and compassion, proactively contributing to well-being for each of you in the process. You can also celebrate by getting involved. Another way you can honor the day is by getting educated about mental health. Learn more about its prevalence and the factors which make a difference in mental health. Explore organizations in your community which support mental health, and learn how you can volunteer and contribute to positive mental health in your community. Interestingly, the states with the best conditions for mental health are Nebraska, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Minnesota, Rhode Island, New Jersey, Vermont, Colorado, North Dakota, and Utah, according to an assessment by Solient. The analysis is based on the number of mental health days, access to exercise, mental care access, employment, violent crime rate, and safety, air quality, and connected youth. Learn about the unique circumstances contributing to mental health or detracting from it in your community, and get involved to improve things where you can. You can also celebrate by influencing your employer. Organizations can make a difference with mental health as well. From holding events and posting on internal sites to encouraging people to share their stories and initiating affinity groups, all of these can make a difference in mental health. Work is an important part of life and can be the source of esteem and fulfillment. Employers can address the bigger picture of well-being by reinforcing a sense of purpose for all jobs, providing opportunities for learning and development, and aligning people as much as possible with what they enjoy doing. All of these contribute to an overall sense of well-being. I hope you have that sense of well-being today. Thanks for tuning in, and do something nice for someone today. I'll see you back here tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock.
It's
the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. All